Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
Well, folks, as always, it is now or never. So one of the things, you know, I talk a lot about myopic issues. I talk a lot about being distracted. I want to put it in a different context. And I'm going to drive this point home. In addition to letting you know, it is really now or never. We have to actually start acting. It's about time we start stepping up to the plate. And many of you are. We just need to increase what we're doing. We have to figure out how to grow our progress amongst those of us who really care. And so the question I have is this. Are you possessed by the problems, or are you ensconcing yourself? Are you basically wrapping yourself, you know, and diving into and immersing yourself into the solution? You see, those of us, and I kind of put this in the light of pessimism and optimism, and pessimism is one of those things, you know, you're seeing the glass half empty. And optimists see the glasses half full. And pessimists, when it comes down to what is going on, if they are constantly looking at the problems, why, how, why, instead of asking, what do we need to do? How can we stop this? Those types of questions, then, and they're not immersing themselves in the solution, then it kind of tells you, and I just want you to give you some introspect. I know this might insult some people, but those of you who are possessed by the problems are technically possessed by the spirit of Satan or his evildoers. And I just say that because he knows as long as he keeps you snarled in this web of deceit, and gets you, you know, fixated. I mean, how many times do you need to actually watch movies like 2,000 Mules? How many times, or Obama's America? How many times do you need to hear more and more that we have a real problem? Do you really need to hear it again? Do you really need to believe that there's a problem anymore? Or are you not convinced that we're in the midst of a problem that is that will destroy us very soon? And so as long as you're going to continue talking about the problem, and instead of really looking at the big issue, I do understand that there are a lot of people that are working on myopic issues, and I one of those things that I view is kind of in that Franklin Covey's, you know, important, urgent kind of thing, is fixing our election process. Absolutely, we need to fix our election process. But do not even think for a minute that that's going to fix our problem. We've had problems with voting corruption for years and years. And this actually goes back to, and it kind of came out in a conversation. I mean, I know that this goes all the way back. We've talked about secret voting before. And we just recently talked about, you know, the fact, where do you have this right to a private or secret ballot? Since when is a private ballot a constitutional requirement? Because they sure didn't use secret ballots back in the beginning of this republic when they started electing their representatives. That was wide open and everybody knew who everybody voted for. And whether you had to defend it or not, back in those days, it really wasn't good and evil. Ah, but you see, Satan lurks in secrets. Now, we do have a need for secrets, and I'm not talking about hiding evils. I'm talking about for national security, for hiding trade secrets. I mean, for you to be able to maintain your competitive edge, you need to hide your trade secrets. But when we start talking about politics and governing and saying that you have a right to be able to vote for those people that you want, you know, you don't want anybody to know how you vote. then to me, I think we're getting, and we've headed down that path that says that I don't want you to know I'm voting for corruption and I'm voting for evil things. Because clearly, when we really start putting the rubber to the road, we can actually see how there are candidates that out there that are absolutely evil. Now, I was introduced to Cecily Davis, who is running, she's a Republican running for a Minnesota congressional district, and I think she's running against Ms. Omar or what have you, and I would love to help her unseat that woman, that fraud, that person who does not deserve to be a U.S. citizen because of her positions and because everything she's doing. She took the oath of a citizen to support the Constitution, and she is attacking and committing insurrection against our Constitution. So I'd love to see her unseated. But in a grander picture, I can't impress upon you enough how important it is that you actually get behind the national campaign of Paul Venable, who is running for Senate out of Missouri. We've had him on the show. We need to get him back. We need to talk to him about how his campaign is going and what he needs, because folks, he needs help. And if he can't get all the help out of Missouri because he's challenging the status quo, then he's going to need some of your help to help him challenge and actually win that race. If we want constitutional leaders, we have to actually start crossing these boundaries of supporting people outside our state. If you really want to have, and you want to get behind somebody, that I would even endorse this man for president, because I have complete faith and confidence that this man is going to adhere to the Constitution, as difficult as it may be. We need a leader that's willing to do and make the difficult decisions that are best for our posterity and best in restoring this nation into what it should be. In other words, not make it great again, make it great once and for all. Because using the Constitution and complying and following the Constitution is the only way we can make America great once and for all. And so those people who want to implement conservative policies may make it great again, but the next time another president comes along or we have another, you know, massive corruption, once we clean everything up, what's going to keep the corruption from doing it again unless we do it right? The only way we can stop it ever from getting back into this cycle again is for our cleanup to be done right. We need a president that is going to go to every state house, you know, in a round robin on a regular basis and poke them in the eye and say, what are you doing? This is what you got to do. And talk to the governors and saying, you know what? You need to get your state legislators out there leading this charge because they have the superior authority over you. They're the ones that create the laws. Now, the superior authority over the Constitution, it can't be denied. I mean, we keep on proving this to you. And as a matter of fact, we've even read this out of the ratification base. But I don't want to go too long into this diatribe. We've got a lot of stuff we're going to cover that we call the Bill of Rights for 2022. But more importantly, it is the comprehensive positions for, you know, getting our campaigns aligned with for 2022. These serious positions that we've got to start supporting. Now, we're going to be getting into religious tests. But before we do, let me also remind you that there is a newspaper out in Wyoming, the Wyoming Conservative Chronicle, that we would beseech you, we would admonish you, we would actually, you know, try to manipulate you and make you feel guilty for not getting the paper. Not because this paper exudes greatness, but what it is it is a patriot's kickstart in trying to actually bring forth true journalism in the heartland of America. And we would love to see you actually use this for you and your county, for your state, and so forth. I know Doug Gibbs did something very similar. He had a constitutional corner or something like that. It was a small little, you know, publication that he was printing out. But he was really more, I don't want to say hand strong, but he was... he was definitely tied to his marketing. Getting subscriptions really actually helps you in your paper printing. Having subscriptions actually is your base, and that's how you can start catering to a base. So anyway, we also want to remind you that Gary Smith at Fortitude Financial Coaching is waiting for you to contact him if you're ready to start getting serious about your, you know, your future, your posterity, getting your finances in order so that you can become financially independent. We also can't impress upon you enough, timbernation.com, if you haven't gone out there, and I don't know, probably pretty soon they'll get those pictures up. They have them. You know, I've done what I needed to do to get the pictures of my desk and so forth up there. And so I would highly recommend you take the time if you are looking for beautiful hardwood furnishings, simplistic or advanced as you want. I mean, they do artistic stuff. And so we would invite you to actually go out and check, you know, Timber Nation. If you want something for Christmas made in America of quality, you better get that order in quick, because their production is limited to, it, you know, the crew that they have. And so they can only do so much, and they're getting better at doing more with less, but they're not that good yet. And we don't want them to be that big. I should say that good. They're not that big yet. And I don't know if we want them to be that big. We don't want them to go to China. We want them out of America. We'll be right back after this.
If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me, AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADD-LOCAL or visit them on the web at www.addlocal.com.
If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review, as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
Okay, so if anybody has kind of looked at the comprehensive constitutional positions to campaign on for county, state, and federal elections, I hope you kind of realize and appreciate what we've done here. Other than we started off with the fundamental principles. First, the principle is we have to definitize the Constitution. We've got to do this. We have to actually, and that's going to be one of our upcoming, what do we call those? First Amendment petitions for your unorganized militia, or for actually for helping you create your constitutional county. What we want to do, because we already had some legislation introduced in Wyoming, we need other states to start pushing this, kicking the can or pushing this ball down the road and or up the hill, because you know, there's some resistance to this. But the resistance is really on the evil side. Now, what we did here, if you kind of look at this, we're really going through the Constitution. When I talked about, you know, the invasion, when I talked about the insurrection and so forth, that's clearly Article 4 of the Constitution. We talked about the states enabling and so forth. We did skip around a little bit, and I'd like to put everything in order, but what I wanted to do was when we actually talked about certain things, such as property, because of the fundamental principles, we kind of consolidated everything up there instead of skipping around so that we repeat everything a couple of times. We really want to make things as succinct and, you know, as complete as possible. And so where we're at now, obviously, is Article 6 of the Constitution, because we've already talked about the oath. We talked about that as the fundamental principles of citizenship, and we ended up going back to that because we believe the citizenship, the oath, public service, and all of that is, you know, directly tied to our fundamental principles, as well as this concept of the First Amendment petition. So some of the stuff that we really put up front, again, is because they were all integral upon the fundamental principles that we needed to help establish paradigms first, so that we could, once we understand, you know, the direction we need to focus and face and move towards, you know, what our end goal is, then it's easier to start putting everything else together and putting it in place. So hopefully this all makes sense. And as you start reading or looking at how we've laid this out, then I think you will get it. Now, even though spell check comes up with, you know, if when we get this document promulgated, because I promised you we'd get this out here. And if you want this document, just send me an email. We'll post it somewhere so you can get it, you know, available, or we'll email it to you, what have you. It is in flux. It's still being changed. But if you want to have it now to start diving into, because we are in campaign mode, then just let me know. Religious tests. Now, Article 6 basically has the oath of office, but it also states that there shall be no religious tests. And what it basically says is this, that it authorizes, as a matter of fact, it not authorizes, it mandates that every person that's going to be in public service needs to take an oath of office that they will support this Constitution. And then this religious test clause wraps up this part of the Constitution, this section 3 of Article 6. And this is what it says. But no religious But no religious test shall ever be required as a qualification to any office or public trust under the United States. So if it's not supposed to be required as a qualification, then it really shouldn't be out there. Because what ends up happening is when a person stands before you and they are running for office, they're running for public service, and you ask them a religious question, you basically, because what do they do? I mean, how does a candidate basically not answer that question other than the fact that they say, you know, that really seems like a religious test. Are you asking that question because you want to create a qualification for this office, this seat that I'm being nominated for or that I'm choosing to be elected for? Because clearly, this isn't just for elections. When we look at some of the issues that are being brought up on Supreme Court justices and so forth, I mean, clearly they're going down this religious bent, specifically the secular, godless demagogues that demand that you can't be Christian to be a good justice. You can't be a Christian to be, you know, a good public servant. Are you kidding me? They have taken this and they have turned it upside down to basically say you can't be religious to be a public servant. And that's not what this says, that there shall be, that there shall never be, that the religious test shall ever be required. No religious test shall ever be required. There shall never be any religious test, period. So asking questions of moral character in campaigns can be construed as a religious test. The same goes for these types of questions in high-level executive department appointments, such as the Supreme Court, such as the, you know, secretaries of state, secretaries of whatever department in the executive department. Making it seem that one must be godless and, you know, and secular and void of religion in itself is a religious test. Ironically, in the same section, the Constitution requires obedience to it and legally binds all who serve. So this is where our focus must be. I mean, I don't think the Lord could have made it any simpler, folks. Let's focus on complying to the law and maintaining these liberties that are baked within this. And that is how we can prosper, and that is how we can enjoy living in this land of liberty. What this means is we have to start demanding constitutional tests in our questions. When you listen to any reporter that starts going down this path of, don't you think it's terrible that, you know, that guns are available, that we can kill people? That sounds like a moral test. It is a right. It is a duty and responsibility that everybody be able to take up arms to defend themselves against a tyrannical government, as well as any invasion, as well as any insurrection. We have a right to protect ourselves. The day you can guarantee that not one life would ever be lost, then we can start having a conversation about whether that guarantee is worth our security. But until then, and I'm going to tell you, folks, because Satan is the big deceiver, he will put it out there that he can guarantee it, and he will fool everybody, and then he'll start killing, and he will basically rule us to, you know, until Christ comes. And I don't think that's going to happen. I think that, you know, I think Christ will be here before we actually fall under his full rule. But the question is, folks, what are we going to do? And if we don't do something, then that's basically surrendering. And what I mean by this is we absolutely have to start focusing on replying back and responding in kind. When people start injecting moral tests and moral type questions and paradigms and imagery to say, this is just wrong, don't you agree? Then we need to actually say, you know, it really sounds like, I'm not sure if you're aware of this, and this is how I would put it to the journalist, to the idiot that asks, you know, it's just wrong that people can kill people with guns, don't you agree? But, you know, ma'am, sir, that really sounds like a religious test. And I'm not sure if you're aware of it, but under our Constitution, it forbids any form of religious tests as qualifications for public service. But I will say this, that if we adhere to the Constitution, and if we as a society adhere to the Constitution, we won't have any of these problems. Because when we actually start supporting the liberty and the freedom for people to choose for themselves, and actually we have to start believing that there are consequences to your decisions. I mean, if you start drinking and drinking and drinking, and not to get down this moral path, but if your behavior, the consequences of your behavior causes your livers to fail, does that mean that you're entitled to put a burden on society to say, you got to give me a new liver? Folks, we actually need to start looking at, you know, holding people more accountable to their behavior. You know, do we need helmet laws on motorcycles? Why don't we just let the insurance companies say, you know, if the person isn't using the subscribed, you know, safety measures, then they don't get to collect. You don't have to pay on injuries or damages done because they didn't use the technology available to them, you know, and make it and stipulate it that way. I mean, we need to start getting people to behave the way they should be behaving instead of, and this ends their conversation. This ends this, you know, this dialogue in trying to control society. by changing the perspective that people have a responsibility to be accountable for their actions. That's what liberty means. So there is a petition that we believe that is out there that we need to, you know, work and get built and be corrected. And the petition would be this: all questions and matters raised in the course of a political campaign or the seating of an executive into an executive position or so forth. Well, technically, I don't want to race because I know my odds are probably going to bleed into the next promo. So we won't do that. What we'll actually do is gracefully bow out here and tell you we'll be right back after these two promos with the petition for ending this concept of religious tests in America. We'll be right back after these two promos.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.
To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416.
Okay, so, I was just thinking during the break, you know, as I was saying, you can't be possessed. Don't let the problems possess you. We need to get you engaged in the solution. Who can argue the best thing for America is to enforce the Constitution and get the Biden administration removed? Clearly, I mean, people need to start clamoring that the Constitution was violated and that Congress actually knowingly allowed the violation to move forward in the choosing of the president instead of doing what they should have done with the 12th Amendment. We wouldn't be having all, we wouldn't be looking over our shoulders right now, folks. In a way, we're now in a position where we're standing on top of the mountain. We're at the highest point of moral high ground, proving to you that we have to demand our public servants be accountable to their oaths of office. And we have all the leverage. We've been proving this to you. And actually, I'll just on another side note, I'll let you know that my article on the First Amendment petition and its importance is almost done. The next article I'm going to write on is common law. And I'm going to make it really simple. Common law is not as difficult as it needs to be. It is something that requires good, righteous people to be able to engage in their citizens' duty in helping, in propelling, you know, our our focus, our laws, and everything else back onto the path of enlightenment, and on based on the Constitution and the rules, or I should say the rules, the laws of nature and nature's God. It's that simple, folks. We can get this right. We have all the power and authority in our hands. And all we need to do is get those public servants to do their doggone job. That simple. So the petition, let's just go straight into this because we've got more to cover, like thou shalt make no law, which means that we've kind of crossed that threshold in the Constitution. Now we're going to start looking at the Bill of Rights and constitutional amendments and so forth. Anyway, when it comes down to stopping religious tests, we need to petition our county public servants that we can no longer allow questions and matters raised in the course of a political campaign or in the seating of nominated public servants into executive positions and other types of positions that involve the faith or the moral personal views or the personal moral views of the individual. All questions must be framed in context to the Constitution and their willingness to actually abide by the Constitution in supporting it and defending it. They must understand. So this is where we need to go down this path, that every public servant needs to be pressed, that one, they understand that the Constitution is enumerated with its roles, responsibilities, powers, and property, and that they need to understand what those enumerated roles, responsibilities, powers, and property are. That if it's not there, if it's not enumerated, then it is not within their purview to mess with. This keeps the federal courts out of making decisions on, ludicrous things. I mean, just recently, the federal court actually ruled on, let me see here, I'm just trying to remember. They basically gave the, trying to remember, what is it? I think it had something to do, oh yes, it was skirts and uniforms in North Carolina, that it was considered unconstitutional for a school to basically, a charter school, to require that the girls wear skirts. Are you kidding me? Where is that in the Constitution? Where does the federal court have the authority to tell a state how it can educate its young? It can't do it on education basis. It can't do it on fashion basis. They have no enumerated power over fashion and the dictates of it. Folks, you understand, it is not about the moral and or conservative positions. It is all about the Constitution, that they are obligated to support it, even though the federal judges sidestep it with their twisted and perverted oath. We need to fix that too. That's why we've got that petition up there too, that all public servants must be required to state specifically that they will support and defend the Constitution against enemies, foreign and domestic. I think it's only fundamental. I think it is only fundamental that we ensure that every public servant be aware of the duty of a U.S. citizen. I mean, if a citizen has to state that they would be willing to defend the Constitution against enemies, foreign and domestic, and support it, then I think that should be a part of the oath as well. I mean, plenty of good citizens have actually become citizens and taking that oath. And they're better citizens than most of us. So anyway, as we start going back to this petition, we have to make it very clear that, one, they understand what is within that Constitution, and two, that they're taking, that the fact is that before they can even do anything, they have to take this legally binding oath. And therefore, if they violate the Constitution or do not support it in, or sidestep it by allowing people not voting for or abstaining from voting, their job and duty is to defend and support that Constitution. And if they're not being active in doing that, then they're really committing moral perjury. They're committing moral perjury. And we need to start kicking these things up. I'd like to actually see some of the language taken to the next level. I mean, surely we should be advancing in this, not allowing ourselves to decay. But that's where Satan comes in. And that's where these, you know, these perceptions of tolerance and ignorance allow us to slide down this slope. So anyway, so we actually have to make it very painfully clear that if they do not understand the Constitution, they do not support the Constitution, then they also have to be aware, and we need them to acknowledge that right there in Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, they can be held accountable. We need to hear this coming out of their voices. We need them to say, I do acknowledge that I can be held accountable based on the supreme law of the land that is clearly delineated in Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. That if I fail to support this Constitution, I am no longer eligible to serve. They need to say these words specifically in their campaign. They need to say these words specifically in their inquisition for being, or the questioning to see if they're worthy, so that they understand that they will be held accountable to this and they will deal with the consequences if they violate their oath of office and fail to support the Constitution and defend it. You got that? If we actually make this a part of the dialogue, folks, then how can they sidestep it? See, it's easy to sidestep. Well, we really didn't get into the exact details. That's the devil talking to you. We have to treat everybody, you know, and it's not a matter of whether we like people or don't like people. We have to make sure that everybody understands and has clear expectations of what we expect them to do, so that they know what their job is. I mean, this is how they get away with murder, literally. Because they know you're not watching and they don't think you care. Well, it's time to start caring, folks. Maybe that should be the new motto. It's time to care. Anyway, I'm being a little sarcastic, but I know you can bear it. Now, here's the next one, because this is really simple. This is so simple, but it has to be stated. And this is pathetic. Clearly in the Constitution, and I'm whipping up the very Constitution, the Bill of Rights, so that we can actually go through this thing called the First Amendment, because it kind of sets the grounds for what we need to talk about, what issue is very important. Because the language of the First Amendment, it starts off with, Congress shall make no law respecting. Well, that's interesting that they put the hard limitations on Congress, when Congress today is hardly making any laws. They're really not making any laws. They're basically, you know, making unconstitutional, you know, regulations, and they're managing things that they have no authority to do. But the reality is this: make no law means that the federal government cannot make no law. What is so difficult about this? So the language of this needs to be clarified, that when it says Congress shall make no law, and even though the legislation is vested in Congress, when we allow the courts to start making rulings to create law, we have to actually start putting this out into, you know, the tests for the seating of judges. You do know you cannot make law. What do you do if in your ruling and your opinion you believe that this is a legal thing, that a state or a charter school cannot require constitutionally skirts? Well, does that mean you can create that law by just stating that? No. If you believe that there is a law, then you must actually go to the legislature, because if the law doesn't exist and you can't point to, if it's not enumerated in the Constitution, then you need to go to the Congress and say, you know what, we believe that states can't make kids wear skirts, but it's not actually in the Constitution, so you need to amend the Constitution to make sure it's in there. Because that's the only thing that the Supreme Court can do. They can't make law. We'll be right back after this.
Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so let me get back to this petition, because we really need to make a petition so this is very clear, that the Constitution does not allow executives from the executive branch, or anybody for that matter, from the executive branch or the field of bureaucracies. Actually, I need to include that, so I'm going to just kind of quickly type this, or the field of bureaucracies. Sorry about that. Or jurists cannot make law. In other words, they do not have the constitutional authority in making law. All laws must originate in the appropriate house in the legislature. In other words, if it is regarding financial bills, then it must be done in the House of Representatives. If it's a treaty, it must be done within the Senate. So each body within Congress has very specific authority in initiating laws. And therefore, we want you to understand, folks, that when a Supreme Court or any court comes along and tries to create law, they can't do it. They have to defer. They can make a decision that they feel that it should be this way. And they can rule in a particular case, but they cannot create law. In other words, and one of the things we already told you is we have to close the revolving door. As a matter of fact, actually, we haven't gotten to that. When we get to the 11th Amendment, we will actually close the revolving door that spins any and every case under the sun into the Supreme Court, because that is a direct violation of the 11th Amendment. And we will get into that as we go through all of these issues. But we need to make sure that we actually demand that the state legislatures, they be vigilant in overseeing what the executive, as well as Congress, overseeing the executive, what we call orders, executive orders, and or bureaucratic policies. And they must also be vigilant regarding the rulings and actually reel the court in and say, you know, we're not challenging your decision on the case. We're challenging the fact that you're trying to create a law when you have no vested authority. And this is where they get backhanded. And this is where they get slapped around. And they get slapped around because, well, I make this sound really abusive, but when politicians are abusing their powers, actually what should really be happening is that they need to be removed because they're not in good behavior. But we've allowed this bad behavior to exist. Now, I'm going to say something, and I'm going to regret this. But in looking at this pending threat regarding the Supreme Court, I believe that we need to create a consensus in the states, and we will get to this. It'll be one of the issues as we move forward. But we need to actually create this paradigm that if they start going down this path, and as a matter of fact, I think even beforehand, before we even go down this path, that I honestly think that what we need to do is we need to go down and say, you know, that the Supreme Court, if they stack the court and they go down this path of trying to create a progressive Supreme Court, then I believe that we need to actually start the rancor in a First Amendment petition to actually have the states drive, not a convention, but an amendment to the Constitution to make the court, to make an amendment into Congress, to drive an amendment via the congressional path to actually change the court. So in the next iteration of Congress, Congress can give us an amendment that we could quickly pass that would change the court from being a political band of gypsies and make it a representative form of our government as well. That the Supreme Court would be disbanded in its current form and that each state will nominate for a set period of time based on the position of the governor or whatever. And we can sit down and talk about the language for this, but I don't like the fact that jurists they get a permanent job. I think that it's time that jurists actually have to work and actually have to do the dance, and they actually have to take an oath, and they actually have to go through this process time and time again. I mean, folks, we're reeling as a nation because the jurists and lawyers have basically put us into the ring, and they've got us against the ropes, and they're beating the crap out of us. And they need to actually back out. And the best way to do this is to basically make sure that there are it's a 50-panel Supreme Court. And this way, the states, by appointing it, it will make it impossible for the Ivy League to have a stranglehold on our what I'll call our highest court. And it will allow actually judges to be, appointed to the Supreme Court based on the states and their desire. They may want a community college, a guy that worked really hard and got really well educated locally instead of through the Ivy League, instead of actually because they took some perverted test for the Skull and Bones Club. Folks, if we actually make our court representing the states, then our court will actually make sure that the federal government or the court itself will keep rulings that don't belong in the federal system out of the federal system. I mean, I can actually see that because they could lose their job quickly, that the states need to actually make laws in ceding their nomination to the Supreme Court, that they have the ability to remove them. We need to peel the Supreme Court back. Because the Supreme Court has, there are so many culprits that have got blood on their hands. But what we want to do is we want to actually force the dialogue in getting everybody into this position in understanding that if we're a Republican form of government, if our court is actually representative of the states, more so than of the Ivy League and the progressive or the ideological political agendas, then I think we're really looking at a Republican form of court, a court that recognizes, embraces American republicanism and not this perverted oligarchy or aristocracy of power, almost a theocratic aristocracy of power of progressive secularism. So anyway, so we need to, back to this petition for making no law, we need to make sure that the states and Congress actually has a check. They need to create a procedure or a process to review all court laws to ensure, or all court rulings, to ensure they're not injecting law, that they cannot inject any law. And so that's what we also need to do, is have the, so we need two of this. And so what I mean by this is we need a second petition, and this petition needs to actually look and examine all laws that are actually being passed to ensure that they are made in pursuance to the Constitution and that all treaties are confined. So a part of this process, a part of this review, and as a matter of fact, a long, long time ago in the 90s, I really thought that we needed a fourth branch of government, the constitutional compliance. And as a matter of fact, if you look at the constitutional counties, I have this committee, one of the most important committees in a constitutional county is constitutional compliance. Now, I believe that this is actually the state legislatures. This is actually, and as a matter of fact, I think the state legislature should create, it should be done down at the state level. And it sounds like I got a visit from Maggie. Maggie is extra needy these days, but I will tend to her in just a minute, because I've got less than 2 minutes left. If we actually go down into our states and we actually create what we will call a constitutional compliance committee at the county level, and then actually the states actually create this, and I'm okay with, you know, some of the people being in the county and at the state level being compensated, because we're actually talking about people being rewarded for being scholars on the Constitution. Imagine that. Imagine we actually reward and actually have a profession. You know, and we're not talking about making people kings or lining their pockets with gold, but we should be encouraging the academic study and the further defined knowledge that was provided in these ratification debates, so that it's almost like, I don't even want to call them oracles. They're just defenders of the Constitution. And so anyway, the reason I'm bringing up this 90s paradigm, because I actually thought we needed a fourth branch. And then I met a gentleman in California after I kind of abandoned this and created Republic Review. I met a man, Tom Laporte, and he is a huge advocate for a fourth branch of government. And so we started talking. I told him I was in the same position. And he's a huge supporter for Republic Review. He's a great friend of mine. But he does see this need. And I go, well, actually, that's the state legislatures, but I can honestly see the state legislatures creating this position, that it would be their job to constantly. So in other words, this is a permanent, and I don't want to call it a bureaucracy, but this would be a permanent constitutional compliance committee that would be constantly looking at everything that the federal government is doing, from the executive orders to the Supreme Court rulings, as well as Congress and their bureaucracies. Folks, if we start complying to the Constitution, we will restore our constitutional republic, our hybrid constitutional republic. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the republic, and we need your help. God bless.
Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing.